This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Well, last week, we discussed the very simple but incredibly impactful questions. When will it be safe for sports parents to allow their kids to go back and practice and compete in sports again? And who will give us the real and specific guidelines to make that happen? Now, as we just heard from Mark Rene's update, we know the NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball are all trying to scramble to start sometime this summer. But and of course, in Europe, pro soccer leagues are back playing again, and that's all great news. But what about the guidelines for kids who play youth sports or high school or travel teams? Now, as I mentioned on the show last week, the National Federation of State High School Associations put forth some basic rankings of what sports were low risk, moderate risk, and high risk when it came to high school sports. And as you might imagine, the individual sports like running or swimming were low risk. High risk sports included such activities as basketball, football, and wrestling. But the National Federation has now offered some more specific guidelines for schools and athletic directors and coaches to follow. That's good news, but between you and me, well, I have to tell you, these guidelines are pretty demanding. For example, let's just look at soccer. Here's what the National Federation is suggesting about soccer. Now, you should know that in their ranking system, soccer is seen as being in the moderate risk category, and there are three phases to this gradual process. The first phase includes temperature checks before workouts, no more than 10 people together at one time with what they call pods of the same athletes always training together, no locker rooms, and 6-foot distances at all times. Each player would train with his or her own soccer equipment, and all equipment, including the soccer balls, would have to be cleaned after each use. If you get past the first phase, the second phase, again, involves temperature checks and allows up to 50 people for workouts with socially distant locker room use. The same pod concept of having 5 or 10 athletes working together, that will continue. And, of course, the 6-foot distancing between every participant. In competition would begin in phase 3. There could be 50 or more people in attendance with a 3-foot distance when not competing. I'm not really sure what that even means. Masks for coaches and officials are suggested for all three phases, as well as for athletes in phase 3 when they're sitting on the bench or in locker rooms or in training rooms. Now, the National Federation of High Schools, they suggest quarantining an entire team if one player tests positive for COVID-19. As for away games, yeah, remember, high school teams, you know, they play away games. Well, it says they recommend adjusting game schedules to decrease the time spent traveling. Multiple buses or vans or parental or garden transportation will likely be needed if state or local health departments mandate social distancing on buses. You know, again, kids travel on traditional yellow school buses. You really can't be 6 feet apart. So you're looking at using multiple buses or having, I guess, vans or parents helping out. Again, not quite sure of who's going to pay for that. Legal concerns, whatever. The National Federation also says, and this is curious, and this is sort of a little bit disconcerting, quote, due to the near certainty of recurrent outbreaks this coming fall and winter in some locales, state athletic associations must be prepared for periodic school closures and the possibility of some teams having to isolate for 2 to 3 weeks while in season. States should develop policies for practices and games in those cases, including the cancellation or premature ending to postseason events or competitions. Again, that's a little bit jarring, and that's coming from the National Federation of High Schools saying that, in effect, yeah, near certainty of recurrent outbreaks of COVID. Oh, let's see, they go on, and I'm just doing, this is just the highlights from their guidelines. And this is just for soccer, for boys and girls soccer. Federation also says hand sanitizer should be widely available in contests and practices, no pre- or post-game handshakes, no high fives, no fist bumps. And again, this is a medium-risk sport. Now, curious, I read some articles about the reaction to these guidelines, for example, the head of high school sports in the state of Florida said, in effect, well, thank you, National Federation of High Schools, for these guidelines, but we'll figure out what we want to do here in Florida. And that's been pretty much the general reaction from other states as well. In other words, nobody's really committing to these daunting guidelines. They'll say, well, we'll do what we want to do according to where we live and the state in which we reside. Now, because of all this confusion, and that's just what it is, and I understand people are sort of scrambling right now to figure out what is going to happen, and you'll hear in a few moments, I reached out to a few highly respected local sports administrators and ADs in our area to see what kind of direction they're getting. I'll get to that in a second, but just to remind everybody, all I keep hearing is that social distancing is 6 feet is absolutely critical. It's crucial to prevent another pandemic. This virus, it loves to spread from one person to another, and the way it does that is by close contact. And I also keep hearing, of course, that this new approach, at least with the pro teams, the pro sports, is that we're not going to be able to eliminate 100% of the virus. Maybe that'll happen when a vaccine is available, but that's not going to be available till the end of the year. So rather, the idea, at least at the pro level, is to simply move ahead with as much caution as possible and basically use sort of a systematic approach to prevent another outburst as much as possible. Now, again, I said the vaccine, that's the best cure, but that's not going to happen this summer. They're hustling on it, of course, but vaccines, effective ones and safe ones, do take time to develop. Now, again, on top of all this, as we discussed last week, I'm well aware that in more and more parts of the country, youth sports are back. Kids are playing team sports in other parts of the country with only casual attention being paid to social distancing or to the wearing of face masks. Again, it's really jumbled as to what we should be doing, at least around here. Okay, I mentioned before that I talked to a couple of people, about this, people who are well-positioned. And again, we'll take your calls about this because there's a lot of concern, and I'm getting a lot of feedback from parents and coaches about what is going to happen. Of course, our number here is 1-877-337-6666. Please give me a call, and let's talk about this. For example, I reached out to our friend Vito Chiravalotti, who is the AD at Christian Brothers Academy over in Lincroft, New Jersey. And he tells me this, Rick, as of right now, we are working through a number of scenarios just to be somewhat prepared, but we cannot make any official plans until the state of New Jersey and the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association, well, until they give us more guidance. We still do not know what the school day will look like in September, let alone activities. It's all going to depend on the gathering restrictions and so forth. And by the way, I heard that Vito was just asked earlier this week to serve on the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association COVID-19 Task Force in order to help develop and implement procedures for returning to sports in New Jersey. Hopefully Vito can give us some feedback as he gets more involved in that task force. But again, it's very fluid in New Jersey. For example, Governor Murphy announced the other day that June 22nd would be the date when non-contact sports activities can begin outdoors. Again, these will consist of drills, certainly no games, under the same guidelines of 25 people max in attendance. But then there was an announcement just the other day that no high school sports can begin before the end of June, June 30th. So if I follow this correctly, more specifically, no high school coach in New Jersey should be at any facility coaching athletes. It's illegal, and the governing body it will be issuing game suspension for coaches who violate this. The gym and weight rooms and fields are not accessible. So until the New Jersey State Safety Guidelines plans are put in place, I mean, nobody should be at the high school athletic facilities in that state. It's as simple as that. Now, moving on, Kevin Piggott, who is the vice president for the New York State Catholic High School Athletic Association, he relayed this to me. Final determinations to the return of sports will consider the guidelines and recommendations of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the National Federation of High Schools, and the New York State Public High School Athletic Association. And Kevin mentions it's important to note that the Catholic High School Athletic Association will be flexible with the implementation of our decisions in order to be current with the evolving nature of the pandemic. Okay, so we got some questions here. We got some confusion. Again, I really don't know what is going to happen, but I do know we need some answers on this because we do know that these are real, real concerns. And obviously sports parents, as the weather gets better and things begin to heat up and we see the return of pro sports, okay, when is it safe for our kids to go back? And again, as you can tell, somebody somewhere in each one of our states, whether it's athletic associations or athletic directors, somebody's going to have to give us some real guidelines. As I heard a few minutes ago, the National Federation for High School, man, they got a lot of hoops and hurdles they want people to go through in order for our kids to compete. All right, let's start our conversation this morning. Let's start off with our friend Louie over in Lynbrook. Louie, good morning. You're first up on the fan.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Hope
everything
good,
is well. And you're always the voice of reason. So it's great starting off listening to you, first person in the morning.
Well, thank you.
So what I think about, Rick, is that the governor is going to tell us in our state, the state of New York, when we can start. One of the things I'm concerned about is that when these kids get tested, all the kids get tested for COVID, they may be cleared for one day, then a couple of days later, they can go kiss their girlfriend, come back, and then completely reinfect himself and the whole team.
Correct.
So this is going to be a hard thing to really get a handle on. The 6-foot separation, social distancing, the social contact. Yeah, think about that one. If you're coaching soccer or you're playing football, how are you going to keep anybody 6 feet away? I mean, that's really something. But I did hear this. I coached soccer and lacrosse in college, and one thing I heard in lacrosse is that they're going to be wearing face shields. I thought that was a good idea,
mm-hmm.
that you'll be able to coexist and play a lacrosse game with those face shields without really directly making any contact with anybody.
Well, I thought that was good. Lou, that is a good idea because I think anybody who's spent any time wearing a face mask these days, face masks, of course, come in all different, fabrics. But I do know this from wearing my own face mask. You know, it's meant to be protective, but it's really hard to sort of, quite frankly, breathe through them. I guess that's the whole purpose, of course. But I can't imagine trying to go out for a jog or try to be competing in a sport like soccer or lacrosse or even baseball when you're huffing and puffing because it's hard to get oxygen into your mouth or nose because you're wearing a mask. And so maybe having the protective face shield in lacrosse, that will eliminate the need for having to wear a face mask. But again, those things are expensive. I don't know exactly how they're implemented into the lacrosse helmet, but again, this is complicated stuff. And again, the question is: okay, now we know that school budgets are hurting, obviously in terms of finance. Who's going to pay for all this stuff? And that's a problem. So,
and one thing I was going to mention to you is that now with the transportation of the buses,
yes,
how are they going to be able to keep people socially distanced on the bus? I mean, the kids, I truly believe you won't be able to have more than one game a week, especially in soccer or any other sport.
Well,
because if you do, it's too much exposure to all the kids.
I don't know how they do this, and as I said before, I don't know how, if you have a traditional yellow school bus and you're traveling from one school district to another over the course of maybe a 20, 30, 40-minute ride, the kids can't sit next to each other on the school bus. Either you're going to need a lot more buses, a lot more drivers, a lot more cost with fuel and whatever. Are they going to be carpooling? I don't know if that makes any sense. It's really, these are the kind of really grassroots decisions. And Louis, thanks as always for your thoughts and comments.
Take care.
See ya. And that's what I'm talking about. We need people to sort of sit down with a pencil and paper in a room and basically try to walk through all these questions. And maybe they're doing this right now. I assume they are. But we really get some answers, because as now we're getting into turning the corner and heading into June, kids want to know. And one other thing I want to throw into the mix before I take a quick break. And friends, we'll take your calls when we return from these commercial messages at 1-877-337-6666. Mind you, we're talking about high school sports right now. Youth sports, you know, are not, obviously, that they do not fall under the jurisdiction of high school sports, and neither do travel teams. So you're going to have to really ask a lot of tough questions if you're a sports parent about, if my kid's going to play in a local youth program, what are they doing to make sure my kid is safe? And what about in the travel leagues as well? All right, let me take a time out. When I return, we'll continue our conversation.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM,
The Fan,
and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Hey, back here on the Sports Edge, talking this morning about this fluid situation. We're waiting to get some real concrete guidelines as to when our kids can go back and either play at the youth level, high school level, travel level. Again, we're all focused. And look, nobody loves sports more than I do. I mean, I grew up as an athlete. I spent my entire life in sports. And obviously, it's just heartbreaking, as it is for all of us, not to, especially in a beautiful day like yesterday or today, not to be able to go out to a ball game or watch something on television, listen to it on the radio. So nobody is more eager to come back, to return to the world of sports as we knew it. But we got to make sure we keep our priorities in order. And if I'm a sports parent these days, I'm basically feeling for my kids, who obviously want to go back and compete. But we also want to make sure that, quite frankly, their health and welfare are the top priority. And I know it makes things even more complicated when we see news reports from around the country that other places, our kids are back playing sports, high schools are beginning to start practices again, and so on and so forth. But we have to bear in mind that we live in the epicenter of the pandemic. And if you do any research and look at the 1918 pandemic, that took 3 years to eradicate, because every time people thought that the worst was over with the flu, all of a sudden people came out, they forgot social distancing, they didn't wear masks anymore, and again the number of cases began to climb almost immediately. So we're trying to avoid that. And again, this is until we have a vaccine, we're sort of like in a very fluid situation. And you know, I remind people that, as I mentioned before the break, travel and club programs, they do not fall under the aegis of high school athletic associations, and they can pretty much decide when they want to start and whether or not, what kind of safety precautions, if any, they're going to put in place. And I understand if your kid is a travel or a club team, there's going to be a lot of peer pressure on your youngsters to want to go back and play. I mean, if a youth league says they are back to holding practices and playing games, how is a sports parent going to say no to their own kid? The kid's going to say, Mom, Dad, all my friends are doing this. Why can't I play? But again, social distancing seems to be the key in all this. I don't know how we do that in team sports, where obviously you're going to be close competition with your opponents. Again, we talked about, how do you transport kids to away games? Are there legal liabilities if a kid gets sick? And so on and so forth. It's a complicated issue, to be sure. And again, I feel for you all, because it is so, so complicated. Let's continue with our friend Ed Ward over in Elizabeth. Ed, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. How you doing?
Good, Ed.
Well, again, it's, you know, with the high school governing bodies, it's totally different and all that stuff. I remember you were saying something about high schools in New Jersey can go back to, doing activities and all that stuff.
Yes.
The only thing that's involving high school players in New Jersey, there's talk of they're having an all-star game. It's almost like the regionals in the NCAA baseball tournament. And what it is, it's not even governed by the NJSIA. It's governed by an outside organization. So the high schools are going to try to get their teams together. They're not going to use the high school names. They may call it another name or whatever.
Yep.
And they're going to have like a mini tournament. But it's governed by an outside organization. So nothing has been cleared yet with the NJSA about, you know, high schools can come back and do their workouts and all that stuff.
Correct.
So again, if you heard that, again, this is an outside organization that's doing it. And I think it's a good idea because they're doing it basically predominantly for the seniors to get them to play before they go to college.
Right, this is like a last chance opportunity for the high school seniors to be seen theoretically by college coaches and that kind of thing, right?
Absolutely, and I emailed you some information yesterday. It's tough for the college coaches because D1s can't go out. They're doing everything off of video, and then D2's in a quiet period right now, and then D3s can go out and JUCOs can go out. But
it's so complicated. Ed, let me go back to that showcase for these high school baseball seniors. Is there a date for that? Has that been set yet?
No date's been set. They're trying to the big thing that they got to do, Rick, is they got to secure fields. That's going to be a number one issue. Will these towns let them use their fields, or will the high schools, if they wanted to use their high school field? There's so many things. It's all in the talk. It's a good idea, but again, who knows if it's going to be finalized or not? I hope it does because
if it can be worked out, we'd all love to see that happen. But as you point out, Ed, and as always, my thanks for your call and your research on this. The fact is that, they're going to need a place to play. And the first question is going to be, okay, these are kids who are coming from all various different high schools. Who's going to, the insurance, who's going to clear this? What are the guidelines? Again, exactly what we're talking about today. How do you do this with baseball? Are the kids may have their temperatures checked, but maybe they're carrying the virus and it could spread to umpires or coaches. Complicated stuff. A lot of concerns here, even though we all love to see this happen. Let's move on to Danny on Long Island. Danny, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey.
Danny, there.
I play baseball somewhere. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Danny, go ahead. You're on the air.
How you doing? Listen, I believe in my heart, in my brain, if we went back to March 22nd, whatever day this country shut down and people were willing to accept the 14-day, that if they knew this was going to, if it was going to come to this, we would not have done it. Because what people in the government are looking for in school districts is 100% liability-free. It's never going to happen where I can send my kid to play baseball or a school or a school bus that there's not a germ waiting for him. But so it's never going to happen. You read these guidelines, they would be happy for us to go into a shell and go into a bunker and not do anything for 3 years. As long as the pandemic was over, they would consider their job successful. We'd be in economic depression. Our kids would be fat. We have suicide rates through the moon. But they wouldn't care about that. Their only concern is the germ. That's not the reality.
Danny, I hear you on this, and obviously nobody wants to go into an economic depression. Nobody wants to lose their job or be furloughed. We know all that, but I understand, of course, we discussed this last week on the show, and Danny, thank you for your thoughts this morning. The fact is, we all know that when kids play sports, there's always an assumption of the risk that the kid might sprain an ankle, might get a concussion. We get all that. But this is a little different. 100,000 people have died from this, as you say, germ, this bug, in the last 3 months. 100,000 people. And I understand most of them have been older people, but there have been younger people as well. So we don't want to be involved in that kind of situation. God knows, for every mom and dad, their kids are their pride and joy. And we certainly don't want to put them at risk because we want to see them, you know, get into a baseball game and maybe get a hit or play in a soccer match and she scores a goal. That's wonderful, but not the risk of losing their lives or spreading their germs to other people around them. So I think our priorities are all about, you know, maintaining. That's why we're having this conversation this morning. What are we going to do now that it seems the pandemic is beginning to wind down? Particularly in this area, what can we do to get our kids back on track? Let's move on. Let's go to Rob Freed over in Lake Success. Hey, Rob. Good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for taking my call. You know, first of all, it's time for you to get a primetime show because you're the only educational show that's really kind of on the Fan, and you know how much I love it. Here's my thought. I'm thinking to myself, and you hit a lot of the points I wanted to bring up. The travel teams are the problem. At least really what I see, because they're not, they pretty much can do their own rules.
Correct.
They're not mandated, Rick. They can go about anything they want to do, okay? It's not sanctioned by anybody other than private organizations who are just taking money and trying to, you know, get kids to, you know, get certain skills. With the high schools, what I would recommend, number one, you're going to have to get a physician. Now, I remember my dad, when he was running the PSAL in football, they had a physician at every single game. You have to have a physician checking temperatures, not at practices, because it gets ridiculous. You're going to find a physician to be at every practice, every sport. You can't do that.
No,
but every single game, Rick, you're going to have a physician check the kid's temperature. I mean, you can't test them because that's going to have to be in preseason.
Correct.
Okay? You, at least the kids, you know, we're going to get them tested. And some of these sports, like swimming, for instance, okay, you're in a pool. You're getting chlorine. You're constantly washing your body, so they're pretty safe. Track and field can be, you know.
Yeah, those are the sports.
Pretty simple. Pretty simple.
The ones like swimming and running, they're considered low risk. But soccer, as I went through the, you know, a litany of the concerns, soccer is only considered a moderate or medium risk, Rob. When you get to things like wrestling, football, lacrosse, you know, sport, basketball, these are high risk sports
because
you're
the contact.
Of course.
And you know, that's. But I'm more concerned. I'll tell you something. I think we're going to get it together. And every governor and every state is different. You know, we have to. Right. The first step is here. We have to follow our governor in the New York area, and the New Jersey people have to do theirs as well. Connecticut is opening up. Retail is opening up, and so things are changing and getting better. We're going to be in in phase one, I guess, here. But, you know, my point being, Rick, first of all, this is great. I think we're going to really have to go trial and error, okay, early on. And we got to follow whatever the governor says and follow the phases. But I really think the travel teams, Rick, more scary to me.
Rob, I agree with you 100%. And thank you for your good thoughts. And I will say this, that if you, as I said before, and I think Rob's point was right on point that if we see the rest of the country now coming back, and obviously sports are coming back, especially at the youth level, we still don't know what's happening at the collegiate level, but we do know that the pro teams are trying to get their act together for later this summer. But at the youth level, I would caution people. Give our administrators, give our athletic directors, give them a few more weeks. I know it's been brutal to have your kids basically living at home and not playing sports, but give our people a couple more weeks to figure out how we're going to do this. It is sort of unprecedented as to how we're going to do this. But first and foremost, let's get our high school people to figure out here are the guidelines in our particular area. And then as far as the travel and club teams are concerned, parents, you have to now really ask questions about what are they doing, what are they recommending. If something doesn't look right to you, or say to them, why aren't you following what the high schools are doing? That makes sense to us. I understand, of course, about the peer pressure, but you got to make sure that your kid is going to be, you know, in a situation where they are safe and sound. Because again, this is a virus which spreads through close contact, and in sports, for the most part, are all about close contact. It's as simple as that. Let's move on with our calls. And we're taking your calls, of course, at 1-877-337-6666 about when are our kids going to have a chance to go back, and what are the guidelines really going to be like? Let's go to Jack Smithlin over in Jersey. Hey, Jack, I know you have a lot of thoughts about this. What do you think?
Well, what do I think? Well, first of all, you know, Rob hit it right on the head with the club, you know, and you and I have talked about this. There's no rules, and as the great Rick Wolf quotes, it's like the Wild Wild West. They make their own rules. So,
yep.
But, you know, I talked to a very good friend of mine, Corey Robinson. He's the athletic director over at Fairlawn High School. And he's a very big hockey guy, and, you know, we talked about the sports and sports being, you know, having to be cut and everything like that. Like, I just read that Brown cut 11 sports, Brown University, but they did not say this was because of the virus. They said it's because of their competitive levels, not winning championships. So they're cutting a lot of programs they actually added to, but I just spoke to a very good friend of mine, my physical therapist that worked on my knees for many, many years. She's down in South Carolina, and their kids started baseball this past week. And, you know, and I got on her case. I said, you know, what is it like? She says, well, I'm at practice right now. There's a game tomorrow. People are sitting in the stands, no masks on. They're sitting shoulder to shoulder. She goes, I'm sitting down the right field line away from anybody. I mean, she's a medical person, so she understands. But, you know, this, you can't be too cautious with this. And like that one guy said, you know, like, we have to get back. Yes, you know. And I said to her, why are you allowing your son to play? She said, Jack, I hate to say this, and you're going to get on my case, but it is peer pressure. You know, my kids need socialization. They're going crazy in the house and everything like that. I said, but at the cost of their health and possibly their life, I it's not going to get better. It's not going to be sane until this virus is taken care of with a vaccine. And even then, you know, it's such a dangerous thing because you could have this virus. I mean, my mother-in-law tested positive. She was asymptomatic. So she didn't even know she had it. And she can pass that on to hundreds and hundreds of people. You know, and then talking about cutting sports because of this virus, you know, Corey Robinson came up with a great idea. He said, I wouldn't cut programs. I would cut levels of programs. I would cut my freshman program. But parents, you got to be safe. You got to be thinking about what this is all about and how dangerous this is. Like you said, you know, there's nobody that loves sports more than you, and I agree with you 100%, but I'm right behind you on that, Rick. I mean, I coach and I do lessons. I'm just biting the bullet here until I can get out, but I'm not going to be, you know, unsafe with this. I'm not going to be silly. And our governor, this guy, you know, Corey sent me a letter that he had to send to all his coaches based on what he got from the NJSIAA, which is a governing body of high school sports in New Jersey, and the governor, Murphy. And he said, Jack, I don't know what he's saying. I mean, he's confusing everybody. So,
well,
you know,
that's,
listen.
That's exactly what we don't want to have happen, because we're looking for crystal clear guidelines. And if suddenly the messages are mixed coming from the governor, that's a problem.
Rich, and you know, they're going to do what they want to do anyway. I mean, you know, like Florida said, you know what? I'm not going to listen. I'm going to do what I want.
Well,
I'm going to do it the way I think is best. And that's crazy. That is just crazy.
Jack, thank you as always for your thoughts. I got to move on to a break. But, you know, that's, and I'm glad to hear Jack talking about Corey Robinson, who's obviously already thinking about, okay, what can I do to basically protect the kids at Fairlawn High School? And that's what we're talking about. I know that our athletic directors, our administrators, they're hard at work trying to figure all this out. But it's sort of like going back to the drawing board and trying to start from zero as to, hey, how are we going to do this to have our kids come back, be safe, and participate in sports, but do so and everybody goes home and doesn't have to hold their breath that somebody's getting sick. That's a complicated task, and we're trying to do it as quickly as possible, because again, it's got to be maddening for kids to know from here, from people around the country, perhaps other cousins and other, you know, places like down south or out in the Midwest, they're going back to playing sports again, and we're still sitting here waiting for getting, you know, the good word, the green light to go. All right, let me take a break. When I return, I'll go right back to the calls. Stay with me.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan, and Sports Radio 66, WFAN, New York.
Hey, Mike Francesa is along at 9 o'clock this morning. Make sure you stick around, listen to what Mike has to say about what's happening in the world of sports and the pandemic. And as always, I invite you to check out my website at AskCoachWolf.com, where you can listen to previous shows and podcasts. You can post your comments and thoughts, ask questions, and you can check out my library of various sports books related to sports psychology and to sports parenting. Before we get back to the calls, one quick update. That transgender case we discussed several times in the show this past year up in Connecticut, where three natural-born female track runners sued the state for allowing two transgender girls to compete against them. Well, that case is still working its way through the federal court system. But there was a strong statement this past week from the United States Education Department's Office for Civil Rights, and they said that allowing the two transitioning girls to compete against the natural-born girls, that's a direct violation of Title IX. And if the state of Connecticut didn't stop this practice from continuing, then the education department would stop key federal funds to the state of Connecticut, and it would stop this within a month. So in effect, this was a very strong endorsement that high school boys who transition to becoming girls should not be allowed to compete against natural-born girls. And we'll see, of course, if the federal courts agree with this. But as of right now, that's a pretty strong statement from the education department saying, this is a violation of Title IX, and they want this to stop. So anyhow, we'll see how this works out in the months to come. Right now, we're talking about the challenges of getting youth in high school and travel sports back up and running. And we're taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. Let's continue our conversation with Frank out of North Massapequa. Hey, Frank. You're next up on The Fan.
How are you, buddy? Good morning.
You, Frank, what's up?
The one thing I can tell you about the insurance companies and letting them play is the only way they will play and will allow them to play is if everybody and parents obviously sign waivers and indemnity clauses that they don't hold anybody liable, because nobody, you know, they're not going to allow it unless, you know, they have paperwork on file. That's number one.
I would think that's something that's very seriously being considered, because it's not talked about, but the legal liability is out there. And,
it's definitely out there.
Okay.
You know, so that has to be taken care of, and everybody is going to be fully aware of, if God forbid something happens, you can't sue anybody, and they'll sign and attest to that. But the other thing is, to me, it's pretty much cut and dry. If you're not comfortable or not having your kid comfortable, don't play, don't go, stay home, wait it out, because the last thing you want is having anxiety or got a heart attack worrying about something that's going to happen. And everybody knows the risks, and everybody knows what can happen. And if parents are comfortable enough to have their kids go and play, just let them do it and let them understand the ramifications. Of course, temperature test, and if things happen, then quarantine. But you have to go into these things knowing if two or three kids get COVID, they might have to shut the team down because they might not have enough kids to fill the squad. So you have to have that knowing going into this that it could be shut down as soon as possible. So as long as everything's laid out and explained, and if you're not, and if you can't handle your kid with the peer pressure, that they can't, you know, there's other people,
Frank,
things that they, you know, it's hard, but it's got to be done. You know?
I hear you loud and clear, and I tell you, I would assume that every athletic association, every high school is going to have to be quite very fluid about this and say to parents,
correct,
and to the kids, look, this is a very unusual set of circumstances. If your youngster is a little bit skittish about coming back Even though we were saying you are now allowed to have practices and eventually have games, if
right,
you still
right.
feel uncomfortable with your son or daughter doing this, there will be no repercussions about
right.
this kid. Now, that doesn't mean, I mean, how do you work through this? Well, does that mean that my kid is not going to have a chance to make the team? Suppose my youngster has a history of respiratory issues.
Correct.
And how do we get around that? Because he or she might be more prone to picking up, you know, getting affected by the virus. So there's going to be a great deal of yeah, I mean, these are the concerns. And again, you mentioned it before, and Frank, thank you for your call. You know, the fact is, as you said, about the legal liability, I don't know how this all plays out. But, I mean, suppose, you know, a kid is saying, yeah, I'm starting my junior year, and this is going to be a big year for me in sports, but I do have asthma. And I don't know, my pediatrician is saying to me and to my parents, I don't think you should go back and play sports right away. Can't you wait
right.
longer? Well, you know, this is a concern because the team is being, they're going through tryouts and cuts, and if I don't try out, I mean, it's weird.
But the thing is, if somebody has asthma and has a respiratory issue, it's pretty much cut and dry that you should not take the chance. But listen,
yeah, but
I don't want to tell parents what to do with their kid. That's my last thing I want to do.
Yeah.
Parents know what to do. And people that you're afraid, stay home. Seriously, yeah. don't have a panic attack. Just stay home.
Frank, I hear you, but I'm telling you, and again, I hear you loud and clear, and let me move on to some other callers, but thank you. It's going to be real tough for kids to say, but Mom, Dad, all my friends are doing this. That seems safe. They don't get sick. How come I can't do this? This is a problem. Let's continue with Jimmy over in Asbury Park. Hey, Jimmy, good morning. Jimmy, you there? Okay, let's go to Doug in Bound Brook. Hey, Doug, you're next up on the fan.
Good morning, Rick. I'm curious as to when common sense enters into play. According to CDC numbers, somebody under the age of 15 is 80 times more likely to die from the flu than from the coronavirus.
Yes.
So not letting these kids play, it's like me saying, you know what, I'm not going to put my kid on a school bus. That bus may get into an accident, so I'll let him stay home. Where does common sense enter into play? They may get a cold, which is what the flu is.
Yep.
180 times more likely to get the plain old flu than coronavirus, and we have the whole world being turned upside down, and kids can't play ball.
Look, common sense is a huge issue here because there's so many conflicting reports. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, I was reading the most recent outlines from the National Federation of High School Athletic Associations, which is like the de facto governing body for all the high schools and sports programs in this country. And they said, you know, it's pretty much a near certainty there's going to be another COVID-19 outbreak come this fall. So, you know, coaches and parents should be aware of the fact that there's going to be a disruption again in the fall. And they're saying this. So to your point, yeah, I get you about the fact that the numbers, you know, from the CDC are saying one thing. The National Federation of High Schools are saying something else. And again, it puts parents in a very awkward spot that they have to make the decision for their youngsters. Now, maybe that's the way it should be,
right?
Because it is the parents, it is their kids. But, you know, it's going to be very awkward have parents who aren't necessarily educated when it comes to, you know, viruses and flus and so on and so forth, how this is going to work out. My sense in this, honestly, and Doug, thank you for your call. My sense is that at some point, if you wait a little longer on this, if we finally wait, you know, just a few more weeks, somebody somewhere from the government who knows this stuff is going to say, okay, here's how it's going to work out. Here are the numbers. Here are the risks. Here's what I would suggest for parents and so on and so forth. But again, we haven't gotten to that point yet, and that's the concern. Let's go to Ralph over in Parsippany. Hey, Ralph, good morning. You're on the fan.
Hey, Rick, good morning. How are you?
Good, Ralph.
Good, good. I'm gonna agree in theory with the last two callers. I was a youth football coach in four different sports over a span of 17 years, so I have a little bit of experience in this.
Yep.
But the COVID part of it, I really don't think that the testing is something that will be sustainable just by the fact of the sheer number of people, if you extend it out, that everyone is in contact with every day. You'd have to essentially test everyone every day and get an instant test to find out if they had it.
Yep.
You have the people who are not symptomatic, who are in contact with people. And I think both callers you had before me are correct with at a certain point in time, you have to decide if it's a personal thing. Do I want my child to go out and play ball and take a chance? Because at the end of the day, you're going to take a chance. I mean, we all take a chance every time we open up our front door and walk out of our house in the morning.
Right. I hear you. And I, again, I use the term, and maybe it wasn't originally meant in this capacity, about assumption of the risk, which is a legal term, but obviously applies to sports, that every time your kid takes the field or takes the court or goes on the ice, whatever it might be, there's always a chance that he or she might get injured. And it could be a serious injury. It could just be, you know, a less serious injury. But that's how sports are all about. And everybody says, okay, I have a choice here. Do I want my kid to go out and enjoy playing sports? Or am I just going to say, nah, there's too much of a chance of serious injury, so I don't want to take that chance with my kid. And so I'll leave them, they have to stay home, and they'll miss playing sports entirely. Clearly, most of us as sports parents say, okay, I get the risk, I understand all that, I'll take that chance because my youngster wants to play, and I think it's okay. Use that as the background. When you get to a situation now with a virus, which we really don't know how to corral yet or how it really spreads or how it starts and goes on and so forth, now that's the same thing. It's an assumption of the risk. We'd like to see, if I'm a sports parent, I'd like to get a little more feedback as exactly when it's going to be safer for my youngster to go back and play. It doesn't have to be right now. And I know we're at, you know, I'd rather say, okay, let's sort of warm up for the summer and maybe get ready for the fall. But I'm telling you, this is a real, real issue, and parents are looking for real feedback. And I thank you for your thoughts and comments. I, you know, as I said, this is complicated stuff. And I really do feel for the athletic administrators and ADs out there because this is very complicated and it is very serious work. Yeah, look, we all want our kids to go back and play. And I'm sure that for the vast majority of our kids, and this is important to emphasize, they will remain healthy and strong, and their lives will go back to what it was, what they were like before, you know, in sports, before the pandemic hit. But this is, I'm not quite sure, particularly in this area, the epicenter in the United States and in the New York area, I'm just hoping and praying that we can get some real consolidation, some common sense here, and some real medical advice as to what is the right way to go back and doing this. Because, you know, if even if a kid is not sick, he or she could, in fact, be carrying the virus, and they pick it up from a teammate or an opponent, and before you know it, they're infecting other people around them, like a coach or a family member or a grandparent. That's the last thing we'll have happen. And again, as I keep coming back to this whole thing about, you know, the situation with the National Federation of High Schools, I mean, they're putting their rules and in the way they've ranked the various sports, they're saying, in effect, yeah, some of these are real high-risk sports, and there's going to be a near certainty that there's going to be an uptick or a surge of the virus coming in the fall. So, you know, that's something we've heard a little bit from Dr. Fauci, and we've heard from other medical experts. That worries me, and it should worry you as well. But again, it's just a very, very complex issue, and I'm very grateful to the athletic administrators and ADs who are working hard to figure this out for us, so at least we have some really detailed, specific guidelines. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Ed Arzuman. Please stick around for Mike Francesa. I'll see you next week right here on the Sports Edge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.